Welcome to the Intercut Podcast, the weekly show going over the TV, movies, and entertainment that people can't cut away from. I am your co-host, Zachary Shevich, and joining me, he's got these feelings driving him insane. It's Arturo Zurita.
I'm assuming that's from Barbie.
It's from
From the Barbie song. Is it from the Barbie song?
It's from I'm Just Ken.
Oh, it is I'm Just Ken. Yeah. Okay, then yeah, I will take that because today was a good day for men. Yeah. The men have won. We took home all the awards for Best Supporting Actor and Best Leading Actor. I think it was a good night for the gentlemen out there. And definitely the best performance.
Yeah, exactly. I botched the lyric a little bit. He's got these feelings he can't explain, driving him insane. So we need somebody to help us explain all these feelings. We're bringing in our buddy, Merjani Rawls. Thanks for joining us on the Intercut reaction to the Oscars.
Yeah, welcome to... I'm happy to be here in Texas with you guys. For sure. Joining the Intercut, talking some Oscars. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, we're... not even halfway through our journey through the movies.
We haven't seen next year's Best Picture.
That's for sure. Yeah, no, not yet.
Some good ones, but not next year's Best Picture.
Yeah, so we'll be talking about more South by stuff soon, but the biggest thing in movies today are the 96th annual Oscars, the Academy Awards. We're all given out. Jimmy Kimmel did his bits, and Christopher Nolan and Oppenheimer go home the big winners of the night, winning Best Picture, winning seven different Oscars across their 13 nominations. A pretty solid track record there. It's the movie that I had number one on my best of last year. I know it was high on your list. Merjani, I'm pretty sure it was high on yours as well. So for a lot of us, I think the majority of the winners were pretty great choices from movies we liked a lot. Did the ceremony live up to your expectations given just how many great movies were being honored? Arturo, why don't you start us off?
Easily. I think anything that had to do with the show itself, from the orchestra to all of the editing, especially the way that they presented a lot of the awards, was fantastic. The way they presented the sound award without mentioning any names and just letting the like audio speak for itself was really cool. Even the in memoriam where they were showcasing people who many times you just see them on there and you don't know what they worked on, they had like a PNG of them with their work behind them. That was like an interesting way to see what they actually did in the medium. I'm glad that they brought back clips. We always talk about, is there not going to be any clips for this? Mm-hmm. The screenwriting one had things following along the script, and I just thought overall they put effort into that, and that was really cool.
Yeah.
50-50 on the presenters, though. Some were really good. When they were good, they were great. Yeah. Like John Mulaney.
Yeah.
When they weren't, a little rough sometimes. And I just want a different host other than Jimmy Kimmel, but he did okay.
Yeah, the thing we were talking about right before we started streaming is Jimmy's kind of like a steady hand on the wheel. The ceremonies not going to steer off into disaster when he's the master of ceremonies. But also, I think there's like a lower ceiling on what we're going to get. Like I find him funny. I wouldn't say I find him to be like particularly hysterical or particularly great at this.
Didn't he make a joke after the Oscars, the Moonlight one, about the zero incidents happening since whatever?
Yeah.
Why didn't he follow that joke up when the follow-up had happened? I'm just saying there's too many flubs happening under this man's watch. Mm-hmm. We need a new host. Just something different, but what about you, man?
I think that in terms of this year's Oscars, everything flowed correctly, with the exception of whatever Al Pacino did. I think that, like... that was a big accidental thing. Like I think
they
like,
give him his Dunkachino for the day.
Yeah, sure. It's like I see Oppenheimer, and then they're like, play the music.
But like, even the way the camera kind of reacted in that moment, like you could tell they weren't set up yet for the Oppenheimer reaction shot for Best Picture.
Yeah, it was like a secret word. It was like the secret word that was said, and then like, oh my god, we got to turn Nolan and crew. I feel this year everything flowed correctly. I think. In terms of categories and everything that was nominated, it was a unusually strong year for film. And very everything true. Kind of reflected that, reflected the stories, reflected the incredible nominees. I'm Just Ken was awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. I really like how they presented the songs throughout the night.
Yeah.
And highlighted that. I really enjoyed it. Like you were just saying, like, Jimmy Kimmel, I know some people might, I don't know, but he is, like you said, he is a steady hand. He keeps the show moving. He keeps it going. And like you said, it was under 3 hours. So
it was a little over 3 hours. It was under three and a half, which it usually runs over.
Well, I guess if you subtract the ads.
Oh yeah,
what is the ceremony?
The show itself.
So.
Yeah,
yeah. It didn't. It, like, I feel like we just celebrated like what great year we just had, and there just wasn't any like too much controversy or anything.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, and there'll be some things that end up being contentious, but I think for the most part, you know, we're talking about like movies that.
The contention stuff is so lame, though. We'll get to them. I know some was bothering you, but it was a good year.
Yeah, it's a good year. And I think, you know, in terms of the winners, a lot of them were fairly predictable. I think if you look at what the majority of prognosticators were going with, it was a lot of awards going Oppenheimer's way, a few awards going Poor Things' way. They got most of the acting stuff as predicted, although we'll get into that more deeply. But yeah, I mean, I think the thing that we're talking about is the show really did hum along. It was benefited, although I really would have liked both of these speeches, benefited by both Wes Anderson and Miyazaki not showing up. So you have just in terms of the speed, you have two fewer acceptance speeches. I think they would have given amazing acceptance speeches. Mm-hmm. We're better off with them. But, you know, you got to the end and it seemed like we were, you know, they weren't ready for how short the ceremony was.
When they show
be.
The credits. Sometimes it's really fast because I got to get the news. Here
it
was like
all the credits.
Those credits
just, it just took its time and took its work. I saw the meme of Miyazaki, like somebody like did the Donald Duck meme, like, oh, he just won. He was like, he woke up and he just went back to bed.
So, cool.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, you mentioned it briefly, Mirjani, but we also got all the music performances, which can be a highlight, can be a low light in the wrong gear. Not every Oscar-nominated song is meant for a national broadcast, but I think all the songs were pretty solid this year. I'm Just Ken, obviously being the most extravagant number and really fun, and you know, Ryan Gosling in particular just going up there and really selling it, really singing it. I think made it a highlight. The song For My People performance I thought was also really beautiful. Got that standing ovation. Were any of the other performances?
Did they do the Dua Lipa one?
It wasn't nominated, so.
Then what was the fifth one then? One, two.
Or was it nominated? Four? Am I misremembering?
I thought there was three that were.
No, so
nominated.
It was two from Barbie. Okay. It was that and the
it was, what was I made for? And I'm Just Ken.
Then song for my people, the American Symphony song, and then the Diane
Warren
song.
American Symphony, thank
that,
you.
That what's her name?
Wow,
sang.
Dua Lipa didn't get nominated.
Yeah, Dua Lipa didn't get nominated.
In my mind, she had. Wow, that
I think she was at the Globes. But
yeah, and no peaches.
No, I know people were really upset with them. Hey, but I'm taking the I'm Just Ken completely. Yeah. It stole the performance, but I think we all knew it was going to be Billie Eilish. Yeah. And you had said a stat.
About Billie.
About like what she actually has right now.
Oh, Billie Eilish, I believe, is she is the youngest person who's won an Oscar twice at 22. And then there was another crazy stat about her winning like a Grammy, an Oscar, and something else.
Was it the Globe?
Twice. And the Globe, yes.
Yeah,
she's won it twice. Yeah.
Won all three of those awards
two separate times. Yeah. She's 22.
Yeah, it feels like we're at the start of her like pulling off five more.
What else can we add to the EGOT? What's another letter? What's another good award?
The EGGOT.
Right?
You put Globes in there,
the,
too.
The Slime Time Nick Award or something.
Yeah. but yeah, I mean, the ceremony started out with the monologue from Kimmel, which had, you know, not, I wouldn't say the best success rate among his jokes.
No, it was 50-50. I think you should never make one of the nominees uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And doing that to Robert Downey Jr. is not a good look, especially when he's about to win.
Right.
And he did win.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, that was kind of lame.
Yeah, I think there's a way to sort of like be a little bit
more
cheeky, but not. It feels like
it's the way he let that hang too.
I felt like going after his like drug history is kind of like low hanging fruit at this point. Like it's like we know, you know.
Or I guess say something interesting with it, because then Downey went up there and he took control of it. I thought his speech was fantastic. Like he wasn't gonna let that ruin the moment or let that be like a thing that's foreshadowing. I think it's something that he had already covered with the Golden Globe speech when he had called it the most improved player award. Instead, it's like you're not going to outcharm or even be funnier than Robert Downey at any point. So that would have been a little bit of a low one. Some of the other ones were decent-ish.
Mm-hmm. I know you don't love the comedians responding to when their jokes bomb, but I liked when I forget which joke didn't go well, and he said, "All right, let's get 20 seconds for room tone."
That was different, though.
That's a good joke.
That's a joke.
Yeah.
So I don't like when he goes, "Oh, I guess they didn't like that one." No. Yeah. When he hit the tongue, I like that. Because that actually got a laugh out of people.
Yeah. The first award of the night was the Best Supporting Actress Award, and this was also the beginning of four different instances where they brought five previous acting award winners to introduce the five different acting award nominees. What did you think about that wrinkle to the presentation?
That the gift bags must have been great this year. That's 20 actors.
Yeah, they got the Apple Vision High Pro caliber, in there, probably. Yeah.
They got something in there. They got something. What'd you think, Johnny?
I thought that was a really nice touch. Kind of bridge into what we'll get into it later, what I thought was going to happen, but it was like great to see like all the different winners. Like, it just jogged my memory,
right,
from a lot of people. So like, it was like, it was really good.
Yeah. I think there are moments or introductions that were better than others. I wish they had maybe tried a little harder for there to be a direct connection between some of those winners.
You could tell that this was the first time they were like seeing each other, and they're like, okay, we do not know each other.
Yeah.
I felt when, what's his name from last year? Key? When he was talking to, for American Fiction.
Sterling.
I don't think they knew each other. And they're like, bro. If you haven't felt wanted here, I've felt that the same way. But yeah, sure. They have you speaking for me. There were points where I just wish that the actors rehearsed the lines that they're about to say. These are actors giving out acting awards. Why are they flubbing on some lines? Like, they're not... That was a little bit of...
Tim Robbins needed to brush up.
And I had just asked you, what was the last Tim Robbins movie? Did you find one?
Oh, yeah. I found it. Then he was in Silo. So he's been on some TV shows recently.
Oh, he's on Apple TVs.
Yeah, but what was the last TV movie? It was 2019, I think, that I remember. Dark Waters he was in.
What was he in Dark Waters?
Tom Terp? Like, is that going to help you? Marjorie Prime, but yeah, we need more Tim Robbins in movies.
Robbins.
We just did our Coen's bracket and watched Tud Soccer Box. He's amazing at it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's the best there. But I will compare that and the shots they were able to get when having the five, you know, previous winners there to after they win and they're like stuck in the hallway. That's where they set up something to be terrible and then something to be really cool, because there's that one win for the best actor where he walked up there and the camera got it just right to shake everyone's hand all the way up to Nick Cage.
Yeah.
Insane shot.
Yeah, the Cillian Murphy win.
Yeah, and then they're in the back with the president trying to say something as Ariana Grande. What'd you say? She was
about to run over the president of the academy.
Like a bowling ball. And Billy Eyre's just like trying to
do a little sidestep.
Yeah, she's like, what is going on?
Why? Yeah, so you could tell that was some kinks that they needed ironed out. But
it's a cool idea. I like that idea of it, but I think that and having the next presenter there was weird.
That
moment with, what was it, David Alan Greer, who was doing some of the and he like surprised Kevin.
Yes.
Yeah, and like Michael Keaton's like, what?
Yeah, they like didn't expect him to start talking. Some of those kinks could have been ironed out a little bit, although nothing that slowed down
nothing
the ceremony,
bad.
Just awkward.
But there was one that did work, like when Nolan won. And they were playing his, like it was archive, like the speech he just gave, like it was archive footage along a montage with Spielberg's.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay. Goat to goat. So when it works well, it works well. Yeah. The other ones,
yeah, right. You see what it could have been.
What it could have been.
Yeah.
And sometimes it wasn't.
But hey, I appreciated the attempt. Sometimes we feel they don't try. I felt they tried this year.
Definitely.
I thought they put a good presentation on.
Yeah. Davine Joy Randolph, the first winner of the night for Best Supporting Actress, gave a fantastic speech. One of the best speeches of the night. She's been doing it throughout award season, but still saved some good stuff for the Oscars.
Yeah. Ripple effects too, because the moment she mentioned her publicist, or what was it?
Publicist.
What, like three other people mentioned it too, so love to see it.
Yeah, Robert Downey did too. Yeah.
Oh, that man even brought up his stylist.
The next couple awards were to the animated short and animated feature. I know you were disappointed, Art, that War Is Over took best animated short.
I'm disappointed it was nominated. disappointed they were invited. I was disappointed in many ways for that one, but we found out with the shout out that they gave to the man who only does Beatles stuff now.
Peter Jackson.
is this a part of like the cinematic universe that he's creating? The doc, the documentary, the four Beatle narrative solo films that he's about to do? I don't know. It feels like this man's about to do the Marvel universe, but with the Beatles. So I can see why it had so much of a backing to it. But yeah, no, I wanted to see another one win. I wanted to see Spider-Verse win.
Yeah, and that was probably the biggest surprise to me, I think, of the night. One of the top three big surprises.
Again, like Marjani said, this was such a stacked year that all of our second options, if they won, those are like...
Right.
He said it best. I think it was Christopher Miller from the animated... He's producer, right?
Yeah, he tweeted it out.
He tweeted out, who better to lose to than to the legend himself?
Yeah.
So yeah, I can't complain at all. It's,
I know. I think Shameik Moore like Shameik said that he was like robbed or something like that. And I mean, didn't like Spider-Verse won its first go around?
The first one, yeah.
And it has the third movie that will probably like have a great chance to win again. I just thought The Boy and the Heron was so transcendent.
Mm-hmm.
And the storytelling and its animated style, it's just, it's tough, man. Like, yeah. Like I said, like, this year, there were at least three things in each category that could have won.
Totally.
And, like, I don't know, like, Spider-Verse, I thought it was incredible, but I'm okay with Boy and the Heron winning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted Spider-Verse to win the award, but considering this is an award that Miyazaki hasn't won, and he's undoubtedly like one of the biggest contributors to this field, you can't really complain about it. It's not my favorite Miyazaki. It's not a bad Miyazaki.
But if you're the Oscars, bad. Why would you not want to invest in that being the thing? But I think I mentioned earlier when we were saying if we had any disappointments from the ceremony, you had mentioned my only disappointment so far, which would have been the short win.
Yeah.
I think that's the only one where I was like,
what was gone for the one you were pulling from the category? The Jared Hess one?
Yeah, the Jared Hess one, 95 Senses.
Yes.
That one is really good.
Yeah.
I highly recommend going to go catch that one. And like I had said, they're on their anniversary for Napoleon Dynamite. Yeah, that would have been a really good one to see nominated. But sure, the Yoko Ono, the only one not available to the public. But sure, the message is to stop war. Okay, yeah, sure. Keep going, Zach.
The next two awards were to do the adapted and original screenplay. They went to American Fiction, Court Jefferson, and to Justine Triet for Anatomy of a Fall. And
great wins.
This is kind of a return to what I think of as the traditional way that the Academy goes about the screenwriting categories.
Yeah.
These are like the, we loved your movie, this is all you're going to get award, right?
Yeah.
Like there was the chance to give this one to an Oppenheimer or to a Killers or to one of the movies that got nominated for 7, 8, 9 awards.
Killers didn't even get nominated, I don't think. Which blows
mind. You're right.
Because I thought the way they adapted that after we all
amazing.
Found out this was amazing. But, you know, how does Oppenheimer not do it when the whole push was the way he presented in first person, past lives? And we were saying that maybe it being released when it got released and then getting hit with the strike as well did not help the chances for that movie.
Yeah. Holdovers at one point felt like it was a potential.
Who was that written by?
It's contentious, but yeah.
But even then, that could have been a solid win. Justine and Jefferson?
Court Jefferson, yeah.
I mean...
Great wins. Those are great wins.
Yeah.
I couldn't go wrong with either American Fiction and how it put place Erasure to the big screen and then Anatomy of the Fall with all the layers of the murder and like who did it and, you know, the kid and what he saw, what he figuratively saw and things like that nature. I didn't think that Anatomy was going to win the big awards, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But I, like you said, like it's like the award of like, okay, well, you're not going to win Best Picture, you're not going to win this, but here's like,
something.
Yeah,
here's something. Like, you know, Jeffrey's not going to win Best Actor, but here's
you got the nomination.
You won.
Right.
Yeah,
and yeah, these are two filmmakers, writers, in Trier and in Jefferson, who are really incisive, really funny, really just clever in how they're presenting these stories.
Yeah.
And I think it's nice because it sort of cements them as part of the, like, you know, elite group or whatever it is. They are the filmmakers to watch.
For sure.
For sure.
And people, I think, felt like these were the, like, outliers to it. I think people really thought it was going to be the Oppenheimers or anything else because a lot of people were surprised that anyone would be rooting for Anatomy. This is all at one, right?
I believe so, yeah. That was the only
one. And I think it like showcases that people weren't expecting these two, even though I would say that we've noticed the pattern that it's always genre films that win these awards, from Promising Young Woman to Get Out. That's usually where they honor them, and not in, you know, maybe bigger the acting or something else. Yeah. And you have Anatomy of the Fall being a mystery thriller. You have the satire. Yeah, that is a Cords movie. So
American Fiction. Yeah.
American Fiction. I thought it stuck through to the pattern that we've noticed, at least. Yeah. So. I thought those were good wins because everybody else was going to get awarded elsewhere, except I guess Past Lives. This is where it only gets a nomination, but a nomination is still really good.
Yeah,
I think it's a movie that people will find in the future, really appreciate it. I think even this is one of those that people watch now and are like, I don't know about this. You guys are hyping this up.
Yeah.
And then a movie, we all do this, right? A movie sneaks up on you 20 years later, 10 years, whatever it is, and at least people look back and be like, okay, at least I got the honor to be nominated.
Right.
And someone will write an article 20 years from now about why it should have won.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, Past Lives, we all really, really love that film, but it is a small film by comparison to a lot of these other movies. So, unfortunately, it didn't get, like, it didn't crescendo the same way that something like American Fiction did.
The release, man.
Came out earlier in the year, then A24, like, the strike happened, and that hurt it.
That's big.
And then A24 had a Zone of Interest. That it was putting muscle in, like, even
they did like the opposite for Zone of Interest, I think, because they were so worried about what had happened with Past Lives.
Yeah,
and it's the complete opposite of what happened with Everything Everywhere All at Once, because people are saying, "Well, they released it early. Why didn't it work here?" Because there was a massive strike that happened.
Yeah, there was a strike, and I'm like, I feel like another movie that is not like that. A lot of people, I think, that got snubbed is like The Iron Claw. Like it came out later in the year, way before. It's like.
They were the only people doing press, right?
Yeah. It was like Iron Claw and Origin were kind of those movies that like came out later, where it was like, it's a little too late.
Yeah, sorry, we've already made up our minds.
Yeah, like, you know, thank you for coming, but like, you know,
After the screenplay categories, there was a brief run on Poor Things, where it took home production design, costume design, as well as makeup and hairstyling. I think a lot of people thought makeup and hairstyling was going to go to Maestro on Bradley Cooper's nose. I think a lot of people thought costume design was going to go to Barbie.
Was set on that.
There were some people who thought that Oppenheimer might take production design.
That was me.
Poor Things went 3 for 3 in those categories. I mean, I think it's a nice way to honor what is like one of the more visually compelling films that we got of the past year. It is distinctive. Yorgos always knows how to make a very full world in these movies. So to me, those are three really worthy wins. Poor Things is a movie that I really responded to. So I don't know. I was pleasantly surprised by all of those.
It's a good ad for Yorgos, too.
Yeah.
That you'll be able to create crazy worlds. If you're working with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a big room. I felt like it was a big win for film in general because of how crazy and the extensive like the sets are. And
they were allowed to be artists.
Yeah.
And they got awarded for it. That's cool.
It like reminds me a little of the year when Fury Road was doing so well in the technical categories, because it's just like this isn't necessarily a film that we consider like a normal type of Oscar movie. Yeah. It's wild. It's funny. But you are so like blown away by the vision.
Poor Things won big, actually.
Yeah,
it actually.
Yeah.
And then the fact that any other year, this gets like a limited release after the wins, and it's on Hulu right now, or Disney Plus for some people.
Well, hopefully, you know, parents don't like watch Cruella, and it's like, oh, this is a sequel to Cruella, and
right afterwards. Yeah,
yeah.
But no, I think that's really awesome that the fact that you could just go stream it right now, because it really is one of the best movies of last year.
Yeah,
and I think made for you and I our top 10. So
definitely. Zone of Interest, I think, to no one's surprise, ended up winning the Best International Feature. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate Jonathan Glazer's speech, the only one who actually mentioned the ongoing conflicts in Gaza.
Did you see the pins that some people were wearing?
Yeah.
I think Billy had
I thought Mark Ruffalo maybe had.
Yeah, Mark Ruffalo, I think, had.
Mark, of course, was going to. Yeah. Mark was probably the one who sent in designs. Rami was the first person I saw with it.
Rami
and
did
that was
too.
Also for the ceasefire.
But, yeah, we didn't mention, just while we're on the topic of Rami, what category was it editing that he and Issa introduced and were really funny for?
That or a short, and they were like, and we're just going to keep it short, go.
Yeah,
that's so funny. But yeah, his speech I thought was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also I don't know if you want to talk more about his speech, but just the fact that it went sound, and a lot of people were thinking that I was going to go to a bigger movie, and it's like, nah, ever since you told me that Caitlin had seen it at New York with the breakdown from the audio guy talking about how they had a whole script.
The script for just the audio was it like as long as the script?
As long or bigger?
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, longer is what Caitlin's saying.
Wow.
No, it's like the whole story is told in that way. And the more you learn about the story, we were talking about how he put like security cameras like damn near in order to be able to film them in secret. You really realize how much of the audio builds up. And again, the way they presented sound without even mentioning the nominees. Ah, the flower clip that they used was great. And that was a really good thing to award. Sound designer speech was also really great.
We ended up getting the Robert Downey Jr. speech for Best Supporting Actor. Oppenheimer, he's just effortlessly charming, man.
He's so good.
I think, this whole award season, it's just been a tour de force for Robert Downey Jr. I mean, with Best Supporting Actor, it was tough for me because RDJ, amazing in Oppenheimer. Mm-hmm. Amazing as Lewis Strauss. But, like, what? Also there is a amazing Robert Downey Jr.
Like, yes, sir. Like, incredible.
Here's the thing, though.
Are you,
I feel did you say Robert De Niro? Yeah,
Robert De Niro. Right?
I'm sorry.
We had made this joke that what if the cable went out and the winner is Robert De Niro?
Yeah.
And so, I only just realized tonight that Best Supporting Actor is DJR.
So, like, Robert De Niro is so good. Like, I feel it's him and Lily as one and 1A and 1B. Mm-hmm. And then you have Leo, who is also great, but it's not his, like,
no.
He kind of just kind of hands off the movie to it. And I it was another category where I was like, all right, I pretty much have Robert winning, Robert Downey winning, but like, if De Niro won, like, I understand too.
100%.
Because like, he's so cold and cunning in a different way in Killers.
Also big fans of Ruffalo.
Yeah.
Oh, hilarious in Poor Things.
Shout out Ken. That man was working overtime at the Oscars, not just the... first of all, just sitting there and having the camera in your face.
Yeah.
Performing I'm Just Ken. But then also doing the Barbenheimer bit with Blunt.
Oh, one of the best moments of the ceremony for
so
sure.
So committed. Do you see the difference when he's doing that up there and people are like, and the next winner, what are you... Come on. Come on.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, they are both people who have, like, really incredible comedic timing, and if you give them something to work with, they're going to nail it. I mean, if anything, it's a great advertisement for The Fall Guy. I have a...
It was a massive advertisement for The Fall Guy, but we are going to be seated.
But that was also, we should mention, a moment where they shouted out the stunt performers.
Yes. Yeah.
Would have felt like an awesome place to announce, hey,
pretty cool.
We're adding a new stunt
category. We're adding the category.
And instead they got like a thanks from Ryan Gosling.
Because we have a movie coming out.
And an advertisement. Be here
super soon at South By.
Yeah.
That was a discussion we were also having adjacent, which was Wes Anderson not appearing for his. Because he's filming tomorrow?
Yeah, he's starting production tomorrow in Germany on his next movie.
But Nick Cage was there for the supporting tributes, and he's going to be here tomorrow. So, I mean, location
Germany's
could be drastically... It's just a tad bit
Germany's
more.
Small.
He, like, already is tomorrow in Germany.
Right?
He's already shooting right now. Like.
But the other performance and supporting was Mark Ruffalo that I really enjoyed, and I loved that it was Nicolas Cage who shouted him out for that. Nick Cage did Paul Giamatti. I'm mixing that up. When he had mentioned the eye thing, that he would have been crazy enough to do it as well. Just beautiful bit. Back to Robert Downey Jr. I loved when he shouted out his wife and he said, she loved me back to life. I just knew he was going to give us one. I think he gave us multiple and people may have different ones. That's
what
the
he
one
said,
I
like. He called himself like a rescue dog.
Yeah.
And he said her a veterinarian.
Yeah, she's my vet, a.k.a. My lovely wife. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Best visual effects went to Godzilla Minus One. Shout out to that movie and all the people who were there in their Godzilla boots. It was pretty incredible. The director got up and did his best to try and give his speech in English. And, I feel so much for them in those moments because he's doing his best to communicate to an audience. And it's so frustrating when they come in and try to play the music on top of it. Like, he's doing his best to try to meet an American audience halfway.
Yeah.
And the Academy or the producers are not, like, giving him that much grace or respect in that moment.
And it comes down to the budget. Parasite had translators, but then you remember, like, Minari when she won, no translator. Mm-hmm. When you had even last year, right? RRR, They didn't have translators, right? Yeah, they had the ability to be able to say the speech that they wanted to, but yeah, Godzilla Minus One. They put everything into the costumes. They brought their action set. I loved when he was holding the Oscar and the Godzilla toy. He's like, here, and he almost double guessed which one he was going to give up. It was great to see them win.
Yeah, this was also around the time that we got Jennifer Lame winning for best editing for Oppenheimer. I'm a big fan of her work. I think she's done so much to kind of elevate the jumping timelines, juggling scenes thing that Nolan does between this and Tenet. Like it really just feels like she's unlocked a part of his brain in a way. So I really love
Thelma?
That. Yeah, maybe. Hopefully, I don't know. Yeah. But like,
shout out female editors.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, I was happy for that win. She was really charming in her speech too.
And the way that they showed it in the back with like the reels.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was another clean moment. Awesome.
That was awesome. Like, this is a creative award show about creatives. Be creative.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
And they were. They were for those moments.
Yeah, I think for Oppenheimer, especially for me, because what ties those two stories together, the creation of the bomb and then the interrogation of the man who made the bomb, big thing is editing. Mm-hmm. A big thing is having it flow like the, you know, the atom sparks and all this, all that stuff, and then the sound, and then like intercutting like his personal stuff with his scientific gain.
Yeah.
It like, yeah, it to work with Christopher Nolan and to like get his vision like that is beautiful. And I,
She did Tenet.
Oh, well.
And she's been editor for Baumbach for a few projects as well. So she's a G for sure. The documentary awards, the short subject went to Last Repair Shop, and the feature
very good.
Went to 20 Army. Days in Mariupol. Was it, is it Ken Bowers?
Ken Bowers, crazy good composer. I thought he was producer. I didn't realize. I guess he's more so director, maybe just still producer. That's why I guess to speak for it. But he was the one who was going out and about telling people about this the workshop, pretty much, that takes old instruments and is able to clean them up, fix them, so that public school kids in particular can have a degree or a passion in music the same way that he was able to. Same way that he was shouting out his inspiration, which was John Williams, and he said he went to the same LA public school system that I did. Man, so
that's awesome.
I thought that was pretty cool. It's a good win.
Yeah, I hadn't realized until tonight that he's the same guy who did a Concert as a Concerto. Was it?
Yeah.
Concert as a Concerto was a really, really amazing fantastic short. I wanted that one to win a couple years ago. So happy he's finally got his. He's also a pretty prolific composer. He did Bob Marley, One Love recently.
And all the shorts are on YouTube. So it's like he's about that talk, right? We are always, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's saying people need to know this about instruments, but they're hiding the war movie? The Yoko Ono movie? Come on.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Come on now.
It's another example of a speech where they're also able to advocate for, you know, like arts education and like the preservation of
bringing up the girl?
Yeah, come on, that was very cool.
That was very dope. Good movie. Yeah,
I'm a former elementary school violin player. So I really appreciated that.
That was cool. The brightness in her face when she was walking down and the camera followed her, that was a dope shot.
Yeah, absolutely. After the documentary awards, Hoytema, your boy.
Nothing to say for 20 Days in Mariupol?
Oh, 20 Days in Mariupol, we should mention at least.
Yeah.
I thought the speech was really excellent.
Yeah.
Rousing. Mm-hmm. And again, like, the producers knew not to play him off the stage in that moment. I think normally the documentary categories provide a great opportunity for people who like actually are immersed in important subjects to get on their podiums and speak. So I thought that was really effective.
That's the guy who was holding the cameras for 20 days in Mariupol.
And that harrowing documentary, especially like touching on a real world subject with Ukraine. I thought he did it very beautifully.
Yeah.
He said it was the first Ukrainian movie to win, and then said, I'd give the award up immediately, so I wouldn't have ever had to make this movie. That's profound speech right there.
So let's jump to cinematography then, because Hoytema.
I don't understand why people were doubting the man who got people to go see. We're not even going to entertain it. Yeah. Hoytema, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
I mean, you're happy. He's your boy, right?
He's my boy. Dude, did you see when they won Best Picture? He had his pink cased camera phone out, and he had his Oscar like this, and he was doing the portrait shot.
Hey, I would do that too.
I want to see that picture so bad. You already know it's the best shot of the night. It was his all the way. The man carries the camera on his shoulders through Tenet, through this. They don't get smaller in any capacity. I thought he should have been recognized for Nope last year. Of course he should be recognized this year. He should be recognized every year he makes movies.
It's my favorite Jordan Peele movie. No, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's so fully realized because of that vision from the way that Hoyt Van Hoytema shoots it. You know, I think he's kind of grown himself into one of our elite blockbuster cinematographers. Like, he's just got this incredible eye for scale, for epicness, and it's a crowning moment for him.
Greg Frazier v. Hoytema for the next couple of years. I'm telling you right now, they're going neck and neck with each other,
back and forth. So we mentioned that best short film live action went to the wonderful story of Henry Sugar, and Wes Anderson finally won an Academy Award. Kind of crazy it's taken this long. Kind of crazy that Asteroid City doesn't have a couple nominations or something. But I don't know. It feels like the Academy voters really take him for granted. Maybe Wes is taking the Academy granted too, not being there to pick it up.
What's he going to do? Work on his next one to do a campaign to what? Not be there again?
And then we also mentioned the Best Sound Award going to Zone of Interest, which I think was a surprise if you look at betting odds. But, you know, as you mentioned, like, that's a movie that is so... The sound is so integral to how it's told. It is so impressively done. I understand why Oppenheimer was a front runner. It's another movie that is an incredible soundscape, but Zone of Interest is more than worthy.
And that's one of those where I think you and I discuss movies a lot, and obviously you know this as well. The difference between what is statistically winning throughout the award season and then what we think should win and when those two clash. And you always have people who either fully think with their heart or fully just think, you know, like you were saying, with the betting odds for it. And this was one where I was excited that, while the odds weren't in its favor, I felt it when who should be awarded.
Yeah.
There were odds for some other bigger awards that we're getting to. And I think that it was really cool to see them award who should be awarded.
Yeah, it felt like an Oscars that, like, was really, like, when
talent
things
for talent,
won,
yeah.
talent, it was like, yep, that,
yeah.
that's what, we
can't
saw,
do anything but respect it.
We saw Zone of Interest in October for New York Film Festival, and I was just taken aback by, of course, like when the girl's placing food for the prisoners and stuff like that, the droning, and then just the fact that you're not seeing the atrocities happen, but you're seeing things in the background, and then the sound is so prominent that I'm like, why couldn't you like award it, you know? It's done so well. So I loved it.
Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo came out to present score and song. Score went to Ludwig Göransson, his second award after three nominations, one for Black Panther and one for this one as well. Really happy for him. Love that soundtrack. I've listened to it so much, probably more than any other film soundtrack last year.
It's very good.
It's incredible.
I write to that soundtrack a lot.
It's absolutely incredible writing music. And then song, as no surprise, went to Billie Eilish. We talked about that a little bit earlier, that she's on her way to becoming one of the most awarded people ever if she continues at this rate.
Yeah. Great speech also for the teachers.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know how much her and Phineas prepped it, but they did a really cool job of, like, jumping in right as the other one was ending. Something was clean. It was very well done.
Yeah. Felt bad for that teacher who did not like her. She's probably kicking herself.
That's on the teacher.
Yeah. And then we get to the final four awards of the night, for the four biggest awards, probably. Let's start maybe with director, since that was not a particularly controversial one. I think everybody anticipated this was going to be Christopher Nolan's kind of, you know, lap of honor or whatever it is, his crowning moment. He's so respected. And I think from the moment that Steven Spielberg came out there...
It was something about it, right?
Yeah, it was
something like a passing of a torch, I felt.
Exactly. And you mentioned that moment in the hallway where they have the two...
It was like...
The premier blockbuster quality filmmaker of you know, the past...
Passing it on right
...generation
there.
And passing it on to the new...
2008-year-old me was right there. Seeing Christopher Nolan finally get his due at the Oscars.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Being so confused back in the day, like, I don't get it. He's revolutionizing it. And, well, turns out they didn't get it.
Yeah.
But now they do. An incredible speech by him.
Yeah.
Long time coming. He looked clean. He took advantage of it. That man did not flounder on anything that he had to say. Thanked his wife. Thanked everyone around him. Thanked his crew. And, I think way past due. But this is a great one, though. It's not a Revenant. This is actually one that really speaks for him.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's one of the things that was pretty special, I think, about just about all the awards that were given out tonight. It didn't feel like they were a lot of like makeup awards. Maybe you could say it for Boy in the Heron and Miyazaki, but everybody else is getting awarded for some.
They gave
of their
it to Spirited
career best award.
Right. They gave it to Spirited.
I don't think they did.
There's absolutely no way.
I'm not sure.
I hope. I hope. Can let's just check that? Let's say I hope that they awarded Spirited
Away.
For animated watch. They didn't even have the animated category by then. That's why they created it. But going back to Oppenheimer and how it won as well, you know, having its cinematographer when its biggest push was the format, having its editor, which was dope, the score, and then big acting juggernauts. We mentioned Robert Downey. We're going to get into the acting as well. But for him to give a speech as best director and then his wife to do the speech as best producer.
Yeah.
Jimmy actually added a joke there. I wish he could text his family. And they're all there. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I feel
Spirited,
this Oscar...
Spirited one? That's my mistake. There's a Spirited Away one.
Yeah, I feel this Oscars was a... because Hollywood is at a very... like we all know is at an inflection point where... a lot of people are pushing for... well, people like us and obviously in Cord's speech... where like we're pushing for a more original film, like not it doesn't have to be a $200 million like film. It
he
could
did
be
break down
five,
an economic plan. Didn't
yeah,
he?
It'd be like
five $20 million movies. He was chopping it up. Movies. I really appreciated that, and that's a sentiment that we hear from a lot of creatives is that you know their executives are so busy taking these risks on these gigantic ballooned budget films that
take
in often cases nobody's really that invested in actually
Argon.
Making or seeing. And
when you lose, you lose big.
Yeah, and you look at films like American Fiction that have broken out, and all these other movies like Past Lives and Holdovers that are nominated and have more modest budgets but have really resonated. Yeah. It'd be nice to get an influx of more films like those.
Like even Barbie, where like when I was kind of like looked at the trailer and going into it, I was like, oh, this is going to be another like you know Mattel or like a branded film, and then it speaks so much to what Barbie is and the state of like. You know, masculinity and patriarchy and feminism and things of that nature. Like, so like, I feel like this was just a celebration of film and celebration of original film.
Yeah.
Like Oppenheimer.
It's still a commercial, but it's a damn
commercial.
Good commercial.
Yeah.
Sometimes
like,
you see a commercial.
Yeah. But like you could take like American Prometheus, the book of Oppenheimer that I've read twice and like make that film that speaks as a cautionary tale of a genius who lets this like, destructive thing get out of his hands into people who don't care about it. Like that one,
it doesn't sound like a commercial enterprise, but it ends up being one and ends up being one that resonates with a lot of people. Circling back to the Christopher Nolan speech, I did find it really beautiful the way he said to the Academy, movies are just a little bit over 100 years old. To think to be at that for painting or for theater. I also love to know you think I'm a meaningful part of it means the world to me, and it's one.
When
of
did
the,
he write that?
I mean, right after he finished filming Oppenheimer, probably.
How long has it been in his pocket for?
I mean, it's. I think that's just one of the most concise and eloquent ways I've ever heard somebody recognize the honor that is, because you are then part of history, you know. And the idea of awards like this is to be kind of like a running document of what matters in this art form.
What did you contribute?
Yeah. And he's undeniably a major part of it, and this is, you know, a stamp of that.
It went well with Emma's speech when she had mentioned that Yorgos was like, stop making it about you. Like, yes, it's about you, but like, just let it be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is, you know, what are you contributing? What are you giving to this big overall thing? And if you're overthinking it, then you're not going to be able to give your best. And I mean, Nolan, you never really heard him complain. And now he's here getting it, rightfully so, for a movie that I think is going to define him. I mean, think about it. There's no reason, like you were saying, an American Prometheus adaptation almost made $1 billion box office.
Yeah, I'm like,
and then one Best Picture.
And then one Best Picture, one Best Director, one.
Right, that's usually
best
the joke.
Actor. Like, yeah, it
the
was
receipts
like,
for these Best Picture winners are so low.
Like, what? Yeah,
not for
like,
Oppenheimer.
Yeah, like when he was coming out and interviews and saying like he thought like Oppenheimer was like one of the most important people in history. Mm-hmm. And like people were like, what? Like Oppenheimer? Like he just, you know, he made the atomic bomb. He is important. But that movie and the way that he constructed it feels way bigger than Oppenheimer.
Yes.
Like, it is about the man and the internal struggles that he has, but it's kind of, it feels urgent. Yeah. Like, and so, like, the fact that, like, Christopher Nolan can do that in films, like, with, you know, Interstellar or Inception, about just the concept of time and regret and things of that nature. And even, if you even want to go into the Batman films, like, and the realism and what that brought into, and, like, how that changed the course of comic book film, like, it was great to see.
Or Tenet, and the importance of how cool things look when they're going backwards. Yeah.
Making a sequel before he made the original.
Oppenheimer.
No, let's just go 45 on Tenet real quick.
Yeah. So Oppenheimer, as we mentioned, picked up directing, as you alluded to, picked up Best Picture, and I thought it was cool for Christopher Nolan to take a step back and let Emma Thomas have her moment, because she has been with him since, I think it's the very first film following, or at least Memento, producing everything he does. And, you know, the films are obviously incredible, but they're such gargantuan productions and so fully realized that the producers can often be unsung parts of it. And, you know, the way you hear people talk about Emma Thomas's involvement, she's really, really an integral part to what makes those movies so special. Yeah. So giving her moment, her acknowledging that it's this kind of like dream realized to be on the big stage, accepting the top prize, I thought that was a pretty special Academy moment too. And then Cillian Murphy taking home Best Actor for Oppenheimer. I mean, it's an interesting feeling for me, because I love Cillian Murphy. I love that performance. It's seeing his sort of joy and how he looked overwhelmed with a hand over his mouth. It's those are the Oscar moments you live for, but then we have our attachments to Jeffrey Wright. We have our attachments to Paul Giamatti. You saw Paul Giamatti kind of shrink a little at,
like, what do I got? Like, what do I got to do? Guys?
Yeah, getting a
same thing with Bradley. He's like, what do I have to do? Well,
Bradley's like, how many more of these can I give you? And we know he's got enough in the tank.
Yeah.
Your concern was that you see him also going like, is this the closest he can get?
This is a role that they named the character Paul because no one else could play it. They wrote it for Paul Giamatti. It is a perfect Paul Giamatti showcase and shows all the things that make him special as an actor.
So what
and
more?
Yeah, if you can see all that and not award it, it feels... it's a little bit tragic for me, just as he's one of my favorite actors, and I feel like a perpetually under-recognized actor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the only reason we're spending this much time talking about Paul instead of Jeffrey is because we thought Paul had a better chance. Jeffrey has sort of just been ignored for a lot of this awards season. But, you know, he's also this actor who lends just incredible pathos to any film that he's in.
And he's going to continue to make classics.
Exactly, yeah. And what we were talking about before is that, you know, hopefully this is just the start of many nominations for Jeffrey Wright. You know, he's officially part of that club. But, you know, in rewatch...
His first
nomination, hard to think about because he's such an incredible actor. But, you know, he doesn't
makes
really...
no sense.
He's rarely given the leads in these movies. And even in supporting parts, it's just... it hasn't worked out that way.
Yeah, like even for Rustin, he has a supporting part.
Right, yeah. He's often like even too small of a role to get that kind of like supporting actor recognition.
Just the fact, he was in The Hunger Games, having rewatched those last year.
Yeah.
Big part that he plays there. But it was TV, Westworld.
Yeah.
That made the jump, I think, for a lot of people going, he's a good actor. Yeah. It's like,
he's
really?
A good guy.
TV?
I really loved American Fiction when I first saw it, but in my rewatch, it's just so clear how much his presence has to do with why that movie is so special.
Very good.
Sterling K. Brown, too, I would say. Common Domingo. I mean, I told you guys off this that, like, I think that Sing Sing is going to be his movie.
Yeah.
That is showing here. He's absolutely incredible in it.
Heard great things.
Rustin, I think that, like, it's an incredible performance that anchors basically a standard biopic.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't think that he was going to win. Like you know, stacked category. I feel for Paul, man, because I really like the holdovers. Paul, it was a tall, like, it was like Jeffrey, Paul, and so Cillian. And I mean, you can't deny that Cillian. I feel like in Oppenheimer, Killian's performance was basically the front runner, like many of these categories, as soon as people saw it.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to deny how incredible that performance is, especially just at the center of that movie and sort of being kind of the weathermane for that movie or whatever it is. It's a really great performance.
What happened? Imagine if Dune came out when it was supposed to, right? Are you still talking about cinematography that same way? Is Hans not coming in as a juggernaut also for score? Like, things...
This year, definitely.
Yeah. So now it's the front runner this year, but it would have really messed stuff up last year.
Yeah, it would have been crazy.
That's what would have been happening there. That's what Paul just dealt with. He gave a great performance. He just needs to do it again, and hopefully there isn't a Cillian Murphy there.
Yeah. Could you imagine a Nolan versus Chris versus Denis?
Yeah, we get Dune 3 and whatever Nolan's next project is in the same year.
Insane.
That'd be pretty cool.
Hey, that is another one where Denny works with his wife, producer Tanya, who also does great behind-the-scenes stuff as well. So, hey, shout out to the partners out there.
Paul Giamatti not winning here kind of cemented that Holdovers wasn't going to pick up any Oscars.
Wait, it got zero?
It got zero because it did not pick up screenplay either.
Held over.
Yeah.
It's late. 2 minutes for room tone.
But yeah, I mean, we talk about when the Oscars, we like when they're able to spread the love around. So it would have been nice if maybe they had some love going Holdover's way here.
Well, no, Divine.
Oh, you're right.
Divine. I'm wrong.
We're all so solidified and set.
Yeah.
We never, ever.
We don't even think about it.
That's my bad. So
I am sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, so. I still want to.
It got awarded. Yeah, it got awarded with the heart of the film. So
I liked Cillian's speech though. I thought
Cillian's speech was great. Yeah. It was very good. He said it in a way where it wasn't like might have been the costume designer. I don't want to say who was just like, oh, what do I? Oh yeah, the other nominees. Terrible way. The way that man said it, he was just like, he tried almost doing the Regina George. Well, someone else did the Regina George. I'll save that bit. He was really into the idea of, like, I recognize each and every single one of your crafts. Yeah. And him and Menta.
Yeah. And you
know, maybe he's a really good freaking actor.
You had mentioned this earlier, too, but that moment of him collecting the award and getting to shake the hands of all those previous winners.
That's what they wanted for the other
Nick
three,
Cage.
That was a really good shot. Yeah.
That's one thing that, like, you can play that clip at Oscars for the next 50 years.
That was that's actually really unreal. That was a really good shot.
Yeah,
because
finishing with Nick Cage.
Finishing with Nick Cage is really cool because others were definitely prepped to be a handing of a torch in other ways, and it was not.
Yeah, so we should get to what is undoubtedly going to be the biggest story of the night.
I'm the only one who hopped out. I thought they were going to
give
you.
I'll give that
to
you.
But
yeah.
You all were stunned. Stunned.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this, that there was a chance that this was going to go Emma's way, the best actress award.
Mm-hmm.
The betting pools had all started to go Lily's way. I think there was just a general sense that Lily kind of had come to sort of represent this film the way that sometimes you see the passion around a film sort of coalesce around a singular person, and also just the weight of the history coming into this night, that the Oscars do have this this ugly history with their lack of representation and particularly indigenous representation. And it felt like all of this was leading to what could have been a perfect moment, but I think you had a pretty apt analysis of it, going back to what happened with Chadwick Boseman and Anthony Hopkins, and then potentially reversing. Do you want to talk about your...
Yeah, to me, they work on NBA referee rules. They forgot to do a call, so they bring it up later.
You get makeup calls.
Yeah. So, obviously, you know, a couple years ago when they all were setting it up to be this big Chadwick win and it wasn't, it was almost like a way to be like, ah, so you can't really set it up. It's all hidden behind the accountants, whatever. Then the following year, you know, there was a really big pivot that people were coming out with, the same type of articles that came out this year, which is only weird because I'm just judging the facts that were out there. Pushing for an actress that you're saying is second place just because you want them to win for something is very disrespectful to the actress.
Yeah.
Last year, Michelle won over what I consider one of the best performances of that year.
Yeah.
Shoot, Kate even Blanchett maybe of the decade, and we'll be talking about it definitely.
Yeah, I think should have won, but...
But it did not happen, and that's when I was saying, I was like, all right, so then we did the Chadwick thing, then we went here. All I said was, maybe we're going to go back to it. And look at that. She was so stunned.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I think made it really interesting and kind of makes
unreal
it like,
reaction from
it,
her.
It,
yeah.
It is kind of like now an iconic Oscar moment.
It
like,
is.
I can't recall another time where you've seen
Halle Berry.
But like she didn't want. I think she wanted to.
Right, but I'm talking about like the visceral reaction.
Oh, yes.
Completely different stance. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Emma
but
like was like
that.
Oh
that
my God.
Image that you can put from the Oscars of someone
getting their name called. It's not like a calculated reaction. It's just authentic. I mean, she's a great actress. I don't even.
She is a great actress.
Yeah. It wasn't her character from The Curse or anything like that.
No, exactly.
Oh my God. They're like, oh, well, ironic.
The entire time, very ironic.
Of who she just
beat. She's been rooting for Lily.
Yeah, and
she's
and
been cheering.
They were like best friends on the circuit.
Yeah,
yeah. And Emma is an actress who has she's frequently gone out of her way to sort of like throw accolades towards her fellow nominees or her fellow or her contemporaries. Mm-hmm. You know, she has a friendship with Jennifer Lawrence and stuff like that. But I think. Especially, you know, just we're joking about The Curse, but you know, her involvement in The Curse as a producer as well as the star of it, in that dealing so specifically
with what culture,
so specifically with how you know how people deal with indigenous cultures.
That's an insane conversation.
It's really crazy that
these two imitating life. Yeah,
they're in dialogue with one another, even though they're completely separate productions and ideas. And
that's what she was in disbelief about.
Yeah, yeah. And
it's like American Fiction also winning.
What if this was like a big Nathan Fielder skit? Like, what if this win was just like?
Tell me more.
It was like The Curse season 2.
That would be crazy.
Yeah.
But I would compare it. One of you guys had mentioned the thing about American Fiction being based off of Erasure, and that Erasure
made fun of the novel Push by Sapphire. Yeah. But that book ended up being the first adapted screenplay award given to a black writer.
Yeah.
And now we're kind of coming full circle with a book that made fun of that book getting the adapted screenplay Oscar.
Interesting.
I thought that Emma Stone handled what is a really difficult situation pretty admirably with a lot of grace. Yeah,
she could have gone the route that might have felt a little too... She didn't do the Regina George bit, like, or the Mean Girls bit.
Right.
She, she did say, I share this all with you.
She didn't, like, get off the stage and give it to her.
Yeah, because we all
or
knew.
Or the Adele breaking the Grammy and giving it to Beyonce. Part of it, to Beyonce.
That, right? So it's like she could have done that because it's very clear that out of everybody, she wasn't talking to Annette.
Yeah, she saved Lily for last
She was talking to Lily.
To Lily.
And everyone knew that. And it could have, is it patronizing?
Right. Yeah, it could have been patronizing. I don't think it was. I thought it was. I felt it was really genuine.
I felt she deserved it. Yeah. I'm so happy she
won. That's the thing. It's like, Emma Stone was my favorite performance of last year. I thought it was a really incredible performance.
I have her above Killian. I have her above all the supporting. I have her above everything. Even the dog.
Yeah, my Critics' Choice ballot for like the final three for Best Actress was Lily, Emma, and Sandra. Mm-hmm. I also like Carrie and Maestro. I think she's the heart of the film.
Yeah.
A lot of people tell, but she carries it.
Yeah.
Going into it, I had a feeling that that Emma could probably win. Like, especially like how like they split, you know, like Critics' Choice and people, like, I was like, it's gonna come down to The Wire. And I mean, when she won here, like, I really did want Lily to win, but at the same time, I kept hearing this whole, like, well, Lily's not, like, doing much in the third act of Killers, and I'm like, I don't know if you want to hold that against her, but I'm like, I'm hearing that, and I'm hearing, like, everybody's starting to see Poor Things more and raving about Emma, and well-deserved, by the way. I agree with both of you, and when she won, I was shocked. I thought Lily was definitely going to be it, but I'm definitely okay with Emma Women because Poor Things is just a transcendent performance by her. Mm-hmm. It's just, like you said, like somebody has to win. Yeah, and it was like...
I'm glad that it's for the best performance she's done. Is it better than Lala?
I think so.
And absolutely.
So how can we not award
it? It's also a performance that I think is more of the things that makes Emma Stone special as an actress. Like, I don't think of La La Land when I think of why she's so great. But
the Hollywood thing, yeah.
Yeah, there's few actors on the planet that can do Poor Things.
Uh-huh. And Oppenheimer was another one for Nolan to win it for that. And for that, and yeah. So I think that's a really good one.
Yeah, and I think ultimately one of the things we're talking about that it makes this so difficult is that this isn't sports. There isn't like a winner at the end who scored the most buckets or whatever it is. It's hard to really decide objectively the best performance. We have our feelings and we love a lot of these performances, but I think the hope is that like this isn't going to be Lily's only opportunity at this,
and it shouldn't, right?
Yeah,
the biggest thing should be that now that she's gotten this much of a spotlight, everybody now mentions her as the one Native Indigenous actress that they know.
Mm-hmm.
But now she should be in a lot more parts than what would be Reichardt's film.
Yeah, like you said, like she's in the club now, so now like she's going to be in the mix. Like hopefully, it's not going to be as long as like Leo.
Yeah,
but like she's in the mix to win stuff. Like I don't.
That's better.
Yeah, I don't know if like Fancy Dance is going to be a
probably
film.
Probably not.
But like
it'll have more eyes on it.
She'll be because of this. Like the same thing like with Coleman and Sing Sing this year.
That's gonna be a lot.
Yeah, like she'll be on the eyes of like the directors, like hopefully the Spielbergs, people like that,
And she's not like some of these actors we've had, like Yalitza Aparicio or Barkhad Abdi, who Hollywood struggles to necessarily find roles to put them into.
Speaking of the curse that also comments on that exact thing. Yeah.
Yeah. If Lily feels like somebody who there's going to be, there at least should be, there's no good reason there shouldn't be opportunities for her, given what we've seen from her and stuff like Unknown Country, Fancy Dance, Certain Women,
it's the talent that goes on American Idol. And it's not about them winning. They're going to go and be like way more famous than whoever ends up getting the number one spot.
It
was a massive audition for everyone to get to know her. Yeah, is it not better than to win and be this poster child that they wanted her to be?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, it elevates her in a weird way, the controversy of it, right?
Because now people are rooting for you other than like Murjani saying, technically she wasn't in it that much. And then they start questioning the win on her.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
they're not going to question the next.
You know, she was bedridden for most of the third act, and it was mostly like Leo. And,
you don't
and
get the Everything Everywhere All at Once backlash.
Exactly. Yeah. Also, at the beginning, to bring up, she was about to quit. She was about to quit. She was like, you're really making this bit for me. I hated it that they did that to Key.
Yeah.
I know people are going to look back at that and be like, yo, that's kind of nasty what they did with Key. Dude, it took almost 4 months for him to still get his agency back.
Mm-hmm.
He was holding an Oscar for 4 months, and it's like I think they would have used her as this poster child. We all know a very infamous scene with Marlon Brando not showing up, and John Wayne yelling?
Yeah.
And they decided to bring up the streaker instead. And I felt that that was a very catty way for the Oscars to be like, oh, remember these crazy moments? It's like you're literally hoping that you can cover up one of the other ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the marketing for Lily was she is the first, she is the first, she is the first. Every time I hear the first, I just hear like that's about time for y'all.
Right.
It's not imagine celebrating someone finally doing what they were supposed to.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just hope that she gets more roles because that's more important than winning an award. Yeah. And like you mentioned with some other actors, then never getting attention again. Nah.
Yeah, Lily's here to stay. Like Oscar nominated actress goes a long way.
Yeah.
You know, and like, and I, you know, me kind of like being part, you know, Indigenous, and I would love to see that, like, especially with a film like Killers of the Flower Moon that resonated with me a lot. But at the same time, it goes back to what you were saying. It's like, if she wins, are people going to be like, well, you know, Emma should have won. For poor. Like, it does it become a contentious thing of like, oh, well, Emma should have won. I just saw Anatomy of a Fall. Sandra's amazing in it. She would have won. Yeah. Like, I want Lily to win. And you guys have brought this up. I don't want this to be her Revenant. And it shouldn't be because she's amazing in it. Like, I want it to be like this is an undeniable note, but I want it to be like a really unquestioned role.
Yeah. Yeah. And, circling back to, we talked about how there was that run towards the early part of the performance when Poor Things got a couple awards in a row. That's when I started to get a little bit worried because there's clearly a lot of broad love for this movie. It extended to Emma as well, but in the opposite direction, Killers of the Flower Moon went 0 for 10. This is now the third time that Scorsese has gone 0 for 10 on a film after Gangs of New York and The Irishman also got nominated for 10 awards and didn't get nominated.
My baby.
And I think it's a really interesting thing to bring up because, obviously he is this titan of the film industry. And his films are incredible and highly, highly respected. I think we can also throw Steven Spielberg in this category, where anytime they make a film, it is not only worth attention to, worth paying attention to, but probably worth acknowledging as one of the best films of the year and worthy of Oscar nominations. Yet there isn't the passion necessary to get these films those awards. You know, you look at Fablemans recently, or West Side Story recently, and that those films also didn't pick up much.
West Side Story, man.
What do you think this sort of like acknowledgement but lack of fruition for these films from these legendary filmmakers means about the Academy?
I think it's the campaigning. Mm-hmm. That's all it is that they recognize, okay, that's important over there, but they're not really doing the parties. Mm-hmm. I feel one of you was mentioning
Comcast. Scorsese's party days are well behind him.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
Comcast right? won the most.
So if we're saying the studios, it's like yeah. gotcha. Then you're the one with the campaign, and whatever the campaign would have been from Apple, it wasn't really to push it in that sense. It was like honor him if you want to, but we're not going to try.
Yeah,
right. That's what happened with Brad Pitt. He was like, I'm not going to push it, but you know, if y'all want to do it, y'all want to do it. So he did leave it up to chance. I don't think they're out there campaigning in that way.
Yeah. I mean,
neither is Spielberg, I guess.
Exactly. Like, they've already had their accolades. I don't know. Like, I'm sure they like the awards. And
they should deserve them, and those movies are talked about more than others.
Yeah, but, like, you know, they've won their awards. I think that's not really the main reason a Spielberg or Scorsese is making a movie at this point. Mm-hmm.
But 0 for 10 is nasty.
Yeah, it's just crazy. A little nuts.
Because it was my number one.
Insane. Yeah, I think there's another element to it, because to think that Martin Scorsese is having trouble to get films funded by major studios is crazy.
Yeah.
Like The Irishman, he had to go to Netflix for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though it was majorly expensive.
Like, Killers was at Paramount. Yeah. And they almost put him out of business.
And they
man's opening new credit lines everywhere he can. Yeah.
And then like Apple joins in, and then like Paramount's like, oh no, well yeah. we saw the rewrites. Yeah, yeah. Like, but the fact that like he had to go to streamers to get this done,
that
is not like the big studio films like Disney 1/5, obviously on the backs of Poor Things, mm-hmm. Comcast one on the back of like Oppenheimer and things like that. Like, our streamers, like Martin Scorsese. Legendary, like one of my favorite directors. Like, is it kind of still harder for him to get recognized, even going to like a quote unquote streaming film, even though it had a theatrical release? I don't know. Like, it's Apple. Apple has cash on hand,
right?
And like,
literally, like almost $100 billion
in cash on hand. And I think that at least.
Yeah, y'all just throwing that number out like
they have buku shitloads of money.
Of course.
But it's like and we saw it in one of the many screenings they had in New York. But I don't know. Like, will they be able to? I don't know. Like, will streaming be able to have its moment where a Scorsese can go there and then like it get recognized by the Academy? There might be a little bit of bias. I don't know.
Apple got Coda, but I still don't see that as like a big, you know, that was like Apple really doing the campaign there.
Yeah.
But as you're mentioning, Scorsese is a dude who's jumped to digital. He's a dude who has jumped to streaming, like you said. He's done those jumps. This man just wants to make art. He don't care about the gold.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. He doesn't care who's getting mad. He doesn't care about theaters. He just wants to make movies. Yeah,
like Fincher jumped to I'm at Netflix now.
The man's doing Premiere.
I mean, Mank.
These guys aren't going to campaign the way that Bradley Cooper's been campaigning.
And that's exactly why you can never tell me that Bradley Cooper ain't thirsty, because just look at the contrast. But yeah, it's the difference of some people are just approaching the art just to make the art. They really don't care about anything else. If a house may be funding it, sure, they'll show up to a thing, right?
Yeah.
But other than that.
And I think, you know, from the moment that the nominations came out and we didn't get the Leonardo DiCaprio nomination.
That too. Yeah,
we didn't get the adapted screenplay nomination. It was completely worthy in both counts. It shows that maybe there isn't the enthusiasm around these films, but just sort of like an interest in acknowledging them. And I wonder if it's just like a little bit like, well, we got to include Grandpa kind of thing. But like the people who are really dominating awards are the generation below them. It's when Nolan puts out a new movie. It's when Villeneuve puts out a new movie. It's when Yorgos puts out a new movie that they end up with these, you know.
I see what you mean, Dan.
Kimmel made the joke about like movies being too, like, Killers of Flower Moon being too long, and I felt like that's the running thing with Killers of Flower Moon.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's 3 hours and 25, you know, it's...
That's what was Oppenheimer. I think it just depends on what they want to highlight.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
at the end of it, you know, for Scorsese, I think it's better that out of the 10 that they lost, that one didn't go to the acting one, and making it a weird thing of like, wait, so it lost the other 9, but this is where it excelled? So I think it's better maybe that it went 0 for 10, because in my heart, it's number 1 out of 10, so I don't care.
So, yeah, I mean, overall, I think still, like, a really great Oscars ceremony,
it was good.
You know, really good. And a lot of really worthy winners. We can quibble over a couple things.
And it smelled good.
Yeah, I mean, this house was,
you ready?
Yeah, just
it had
something
really
smoky,
nice briskety.
Yeah.
We picked up some Frank.
We picked up some Frank. It was a good menu from the Academy. Yeah,
that's really good. Any things looking ahead? Are there certain elements that you want to make sure they keep doing in future ceremonies, or certain things that you hope they get rid of in next year's Oscars, Rajani?
They gotta figure out that backstage shot, because like people running into each other,
gonna get a 4-car pileup at some point.
Yeah, but I was a fan of, like you said, like what the sound, like
the presentation
sound,
yeah.
How quickly everything was moving. Mm-hmm. Like it didn't feel like anything got stuck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And everything was pretty much focused on the art. And that's why we watch the Oscars. It's not like,
yeah.
Of course it's like the controversy, like the Moonlight controversy, like we talk about now and things like that. But I think tonight it's a win for original art and like for the art form. Mm-hmm. Like we're talking about Nolan, we're talking about Yorgos and a movie like Poor Things and how it twists like the Frankenstein thing into something different. Like it was just a great celebration of a great film for film.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Art, you want to make sure John Cena shows up naked to every ceremony?
You know, I was looking at the last points that I had and I was going to ignore it. So I'm going to continue doing that. First and foremost, they need to really hone in on the presenters. When you have, you know, them coming out for Twins, I thought we both got beat up by Batman was a pretty good banter.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care.
Keaton with the eyes.
Yeah, Keaton's great. Spielberg being a part of the Barbie duo's whole bit about the
He knows
dudes.
How to play along. He's great.
That's good. Who'd you mention from Wicked? Like,
it's Ariana.
I'm not against that bit of like, here's something new that's coming out. Yeah. And then you have, you know, what were we just saying with the Barbenheimer? They made something out of it. Yeah. So why weren't the Wicked duo?
You didn't like Wickedly Subtle?
Absolutely horrendous, bro.
They made the pun.
It was really bad. So I just think that they really need to clean those up a little bit more. And then other than that,
bring Mulaney into host,
dude. Yes.
Okay. Before you say the Mulaney, you noticed PIMP playing more of that super timed music that really goes with the people who are winning.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I thought they missed an opportunity. When Nolan won for director, I forget what score they played. They played some iconic film score, but it wasn't from a Nolan movie. There's so many iconic Nolan scores that you could have played in that moment.
Yeah.
Play Dark Knight. Play, like, The Inception Time. Or play like, Oppenheimer. Like
give me Tenet.
Yeah.
Or, Tenet. Like, the opening score for Tenet. Yeah.
Yeah. And they should keep this something. If you're not going to make it a category, I don't mind them doing that bit.
Yeah.
But I know it's going to vary on whatever the movie of the week is that they're going to be pushing. I thought that was kind of cool because it was the closest thing to at least honoring them. I'm a big believer in the nomination is just as important. So it's like that was just all nominees. You didn't have to pick a winner, but at least you shouted them out.
Yeah. Going back to the Mulaney thing, I mean, he had a small bit for introducing Best Sound. And
live,
he,
bro, killed it.
And just turned it into a really hilarious... And it, one of those things where he just, like, is able to...
Richard Lewis, look at that.
Go on his tangents and still be kind of, like, celebratory, too. Like,
yes.
You know, he's a guy who clearly is, like, versed in film and has, like, a deep knowledge of the industry, which just makes it that... Like, we want somebody who knows and loves and wants to celebrate this stuff, and he just seems so perfect. I really hope that was kind of his audition because he really nailed it.
He spoiled Field of Dreams and still made me want to rent it like tomorrow.
The way he spoiled it, I was like, I want to watch that again.
Right?
Like,
that was good.
So I think those are most of our thoughts on the 96th Ooh. Annual Academy Awards. We're here at South By. We got a lot more movies coming up. What are we seeing tomorrow? We're seeing Nick Cage.
We are seeing Nick Cage. Okay. Hopefully we're seeing some of the stuff that, again, like last year, whenever it was, we saw Everything Everywhere All at Once prior to that. Yeah, yeah. And then
Bottoms last year,
Nine Waipo that Talk was able to make me. It to the Oscar. That should have made it into some. So Can we're still missing
talk
some of
to
those.
Me like an Oscar.
Makeup. Give me some makeup yeah. right there. I would have taken that. But yeah, no, we still have a lot on the horizon. I think the one that you guys have mentioned, Sing Sing, is definitely the one. We just haven't seen it.
Yeah. Well, Brijani, but not us.
I'm gonna put in right now. It's an Oscar contender.
I'm gonna put it.
For Coleman. Yeah, it, absolutely. And it's coming out in July. So like it's. Past lives,
yeah.
And like hopefully we won't have a strike. Support the workers.
And it's A24, right?
Yeah, and it's A24, so they're gonna be behind it. I'm not sure what else A24 has. It hasn't come out yet. I would love to see something for I Saw the TV Glow, and how transcendent, like,
Ooh.
And how great that movie is. Like, I would love that. I don't know
yeah. script.
Hey, but. The Oscars have to warm up the horror yeah.
script, bro. No, think about it. It's a script win right there.
Yeah,
it should be
a script win right there. Yeah. Think about it.
At least at the Indie Spirits or something.
But. No, all the way. Think about how insane that would be yeah. for Jay to go up there.
Dope. Yeah.
No, that's through and through. It has to be.
Yeah.
And the best actor.
Yeah. So we'll continue sharing thoughts as we get further along in the year. We'll be back with some thoughts on South by Southwest not too far from now. We still got to do our Intercut Awards wrap-up when we can find some time. It's been busy out here in Austin. But thanks for staying tuned to the channel. You can find more from me, Zach Shevich, at ZShevich across social media or at Multiplex Show, wherever you find videos.
You tired? I want to see if it was contagious, according to one of the movies we saw.
Artwork
it was that daylight. Yeah, you can find me losing daylight savings hours all over the place from LME Movies on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, or every week here on the Intercut Podcast.
And Mirjani, thank you for joining us for the first
time. No, thank you both. It was fun.
Yeah, where can people find more from you?
You can find me over at Twitter X, whatever they call it, Instagram, Threads, MySpace at Mirjani Rawls. MURJANIRAWLS. I write, I think, pretty much everywhere and everything. Yeah. So you just, you know.
On that grind.
Yeah.
Busy.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you. You can find more from all of us at Intercut Pod across social. We do our weekend must watch most Mondays. Not tomorrow. We're tired. We got movies to watch. We got a Monkey Man screening to line up for.
We have a camp out screening to do tomorrow. Yeah. And
shout out all the Kens.
Yeah, shout out to every Ken out there. We're loving the Kenergy.
You are enough.
You can catch Intercut Pod across social media. You can catch the link to our Discord in the description of this episode. Be sure to support us on Patreon, patreon.com/intercutpod, where you can get access to episodes like this one early. We are live streaming it for our patrons who are hopefully in the chat.
Right after the Oscars, We went straight
on. You're missing out if you're not subscribed on patreon.com/intercutpod, so be sure to head over to there. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time, imagine being there less than 100 years into painting or theater. We're here for film.
We're on.